Rights and Responsibilities. Jesus' words about persecution in his farewell discourse present a unique problem for those of us in modern free societies that value religious liberty. We've been shaped by our culture to believe religious persecution is inherently wrong. No one should be mistreated, denied equal access to the law, or prevented from following their conscience simply because of their religion. When Christians do face these indignities, the American in me wants to stand up and demand our rights be recognized and defended. On the other hand, Jesus said, quote, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you," end quote. John 15:20. Mistreatment is part of what the follower of Jesus is called to expect and endure. Therefore, the Christian in me wants to sit down and simply accept the injustice as part of sharing in the sufferings of Christ. So which value is right? Should we value the human right of religious liberty or the value of suffering with Christ? Should we defend the right to freedom of conscience or surrender our rights like Jesus did on the cross? To be honest, I'm not entirely sure. I've heard many simple answers to this dilemma, but few wrestle honestly with the complexities and circumstances in which these questions usually arise. Here's what I do know. Too few Christians feel the tension to begin with. Too few recognize any dissonance between the way of the cross and the way of the flag. Instead, they assume that a full-throated defense of one's constitutional rights is always God's will. And therefore, when any Christian experiences persecution, even of the mildest form, it isn't merely a violation of the First Amendment, it's also a violation of God's divine law. Such Christians have been so completely shaped by the flag that they no longer see the value of the cross. They can't recognize the redemptive value of suffering unjustly. On the flip side, there are pious Christians who believe any defense of religious freedom is an act of self-interest that betrays our responsibility to obey the call of Christ, who surrendered all of his rights for the sake of others. These believers may be so narrowly fixated on the cross that they fail to recognize the compassionate and deeply Christian origins of religious freedom in the West. The Christian who defends her religious liberty and freedom of conscience may be seen as acting in her own self-interest, but these same laws also ensure the protection of our non-Christian neighbors. After all, creating a society in which Christians may live and worship freely also means creating a society in which Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs, and countless other minorities can do the same. While it may be Christ-like and admirable for a Christian to surrender his own rights, there is nothing compassionate about surrendering someone else's. Even Scripture offers us a complicated picture of this issue. For example, the Apostle Paul suffered terribly as a follower of Jesus. He was beaten, imprisoned, stoned, and maligned on numerous occasions. Sometimes, however, Paul used his status as a Roman citizen to avoid mistreatment or to create opportunities unavailable to other Christians. In other words, were it not for his legal rights, Paul could have experienced more persecution, but chose not to. And when brought before the authorities, he appealed to his rights to receive better treatment and advance his mission. What we discover in the New Testament isn't a clear answer. There appears to be a place for Christians to employ their legal rights and a time to patiently endure the persecution of the world. And discerning which to do in any particular situation is not given to us in the pages of Scripture. This is why we must read Jesus' words about persecution and the world's hatred within the larger context of the farewell discourse. Remember, one of the dominant themes of these chapters in John's Gospel is the coming of the Holy Spirit to guide and teach Jesus' followers. The text we have in the Bible was never intended to anticipate any and every situation the Christian may find herself in, and therefore, the Bible cannot give an answer for every dilemma we will face. That is why we must cultivate an ongoing communion with God through His Spirit. It was this intimate connection that helped Paul know when to surrender his rights and when to claim them, when to accept persecution, and when to appeal to Caesar. We need that same wisdom today as we seek to faithfully follow Christ while also possessing rights and liberties unimaginable, let alone available, to the saints that preceded us. John 15, 18 to 27. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Acts 16:35-40. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. The weekly prayer comes from Catherine of Genoa. Lord, I bring the poverty of my soul to be transformed by your beauty, the wildness of my passions to be tamed by your love, the stubbornness of my will to be conformed by your commandments, and the yearnings of my heart to be renewed by your grace, both now and forevermore. Amen. With God Daily is produced by Measure the Clouds Ministries. To find out more or how you can support Measure the Clouds with a tax-deductible donation, please visit withgoddaily.com.